Today's daf is daf Lamed Vav. The number of tzaddikim in the shir, I think it was. Something like that. So, we were in the middle of an interesting new sugya, in which the Braita had given us a list of other people that don't have knas, and this serves really as an introduction to that upcoming Mishnah, which discusses those who don't have knas, specifically what we've been referring to for quite a while about Bitof, Yuvimis, and so on. Meanwhile, there are others also that have a knas, and we mentioned over there Mimma Enet and some other things, but the strangest thing was the opening about Arayot, B'Shniot La'Arayot, for some reason don't have knas, Shniot La'Arayot, or only Drabona. We've even listed in our Mishnah Arayot with a fee of Kares that have knas. What in the world is that supposed to mean? And that's today's Gemara's opening, one line up from the bottom line, Lamedi Amid Beis, my Arayot or my Shniot La'Arayot. Can you tell me what you're referring to? I mean, if it means what it usually means, it makes no sense at all. Lima Arayot means Arayot Mamash. And Shniot means what it usually means. The Gzerot Rabbonon is a Harchaka, like a grandmother, things like that. Maternal grandmother, paternal grandmother, which are Midivrei Sofrim. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, given to me, right, look, forget about the way it would fit into our mission. I mean, that obviously is ridiculous. It wouldn't fit into our mission. But even if you want to learn, like the most rochok shita of Shimon ben Manasseh holds has to be ruwiyalo, but I mean, ruwiyalo means midiraita, veloti ele isha. I got a potter from a knas based on that. So since they're chazim on midiraita, they're definitely at least ruin midiraita. So why would you not pay a knas? Am I lem knas? Ella will have to explain the words arayot and shniot l'arayot in a way that is different from the way we usually use it. We'll refer to arayot as being the primal or fundamental arayot, and the shniot the secondary, but obviously all the arayta. In which case, perhaps it would mean, we could say, I mean, there's a couple of options. We could say that maybe arayot refers to chayve mitot beitin, which, that's fine, they don't knas because, as we said earlier, it's komle b'rabin, everybody agrees to that, chayve mitot shobigin. Shniot, your secondary, would be the chayve kritut. But the chayve lavim would have a knas, and then it would work out fine like Shimon HaTimni, it wouldn't be like our Mishnah, but it would work out at least like Shimon HaTimni, or maybe Arayot would be Chayve mitot beitin and chayve kritot, whereas the shniot would be the chayve lavim, which guess will work out well even according to Shimon ben Manasseh. He holds you need isha ruya lekayma, which excludes a chiyuv lav, and therefore it says over here that even a shniot are not included, so it works out well according to him. You have two possibilities that are a sliding scale basically, because after all we've got three sets of the mita, karet, and malkot, so we could just slide it along according to different shitas. So the mita would be our mishnah. Then the two levels over here could be the karet, the mita and karet, or we could have the karet, slide it down one level, and still have karet and lav, and then it would still work out according to Shimon Manasseh, which would mean that even a lav wouldn't be chayav because of the fact that she's enriwiya. Forget about the kamei rabbi mina yeshiva. Fine. What about the other thing you said? Hamima enet in a lo knas v'lo pitu. Now that implies that a ketana ba'alma, if she wouldn't be a mima enet, just a regular girl, a regular ketana, would have a knas. Now, according to Rashi's explanation, as Tosfos points out, this makes absolutely no sense. Rashi learned that mima enet means a girl who had been mima enet, and originally doesn't have a knas, is because we assume she was nivala. So who says referring to a ketana? Maybe it's referring to 10 years later now. She went ahead and got married. Now, she went ahead and got raped as a nara. She'd been ma'enet as a ketana. And all it's saying is that as a nara, she doesn't have a knas because she had once been married as a ketana. Therefore, Tamatosu said yesterday, that's not what ma'enet means. Ma'enet means during the stage of which she is a ketana. But it turns out subsequently she was ma'enet. She was raped by her own husband, and now ex post facto turns out not to be her own husband because she'd been mima. Okay, then it's a nice deal. So that would mean that in other cases where she was a ketana and not a mima in it, so then she would have a knas, as the Gemara. And so I thought, I mean, who's the man who says that even a ketana has a knas? That you're talking about mani that's going to Rabbona. The Rabbanan say yesh laknas. Remember that according to Rabbi Meir, a katana in laknas. Rabbanan are the ones who say yesh knas even b'mokom mecher that we had earlier. But then, how could it say that the island is in la lo knas v'lo pitui? The only reason that an island would have no knas is because she's never a nar. Okay, an island is either a katana or a bogeret, but she doesn't have that interim stage because she never goes through puberty. That's the point of being sterile. So memela, we check to see it doesn't bother Sabajash. I don't know how to work that thing. So memela, we've got a contradiction here. I mean, either it's Rebbe Meir, in which case it works out fine. The thing about the island is, but then it doesn't work out. The thing about the why we would say that in memela they're not kenas, because then no ketana would have a kenas. You know what? Maybe it's like this. I mean, you're saying the Rashi's Rabbanan say for Rebbe Meir, and Bechitema, maybe you'll say like this. Actually, Kula Rebbe Meir, the whole thing works out fine. I'll leave it to Rebbe Meir if we add that perhaps Rebbe Meir holds like Rebbe Yehuda Shita when it comes to Mima'enet. Rebbe Yehuda Shita is that a Mima'enet was married as a Ketana Yitomah. She's only married by Kedushin Rabbanan so long as the husband did not have intercourse, which would have created, after the stage of Katnut, would have created a Kedushin Dioraita. So they allowed the Mion to continue to take place through a certain level of post-puberty, so that maybe even though she would have still, she would have Shtei Sarot, but actually Arbea Shachor, he holds, you could continue to be Mima'enet. So maybe that's what he holds. Mima'enet doesn't mean a Ketana. Mima'enet actually means a Nara. So we'll work out a little bit of Rebbe Meir. The only problem is that we know Rebbe Meir doesn't hold that. Umi Sarvala, Rebbe Meir holds like Rebbe Yud all of a sudden. Yatanya ad matai habat mima'enet achitavishte sarot. Rebbe Meir, look, there's no way out of it. Rebbe Meir says, a child can only be mima'enet until the moment that she reaches puberty. After puberty, that's it. So that means that we've got a contradiction. If she's a nara, she's not a mima'enet. If she's a mima'enet, she wouldn't have gotten knas anyway. I'll leave it to Rebbe Meir because no ketana gets knas. What did it? The hat or the sukkah stick? The leaving of the sukkah.
Brought the wrong tomorrow.
Oh, that'll do it anyway. Well, we can give you a Rishalmi if you like. We've got a nice Rishalmi. That should help. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says, Achi Arbe Shachor Al Halavan. Now, the Pashas V'Arbe Shachor Al Halavan means that basically the pubes are covered with hair. That's not really what it means, though. La Halacha, which is why some want to change the gears and take out the word al halavan. It's not a gears, it's just a shachor. Because the Gemara comes out that according to Rebbe Yehuda, all we need is actually the same shtei sa'arot, the signs of puberty, except that they need to be very recognizable. So it could be that maybe it would be achi arba shachor, not beyond the lavan, but against the lavan, meaning noticeable. Because in the onset of puberty, the hair is very thin, and therefore essentially white. See, Arba Shachor Alavan means that a fully developed hair, the closer to the skin part of the hair, is dark, and that dark is greater than the thin hair, which is white. That's Yarba, not against the skin, which is Lavan. Okay, interesting. But in any event, it doesn't mean literally Shachor Alavan. It just means that she should be well into puberty. So, okay, then obviously we cannot say that Rebbe Meir holds a Rebbe Yehuda. Ah, but we could say Rebbe Yehuda holds a Rebbe Meir, maybe. Maybe Rebbe Yehuda, maybe it's going only to Rebbe Yehuda. You said, who's the Tana? Tana's Rebbe Yehuda. And maybe when it comes to the din of a Ketana, that a Ketana has a no knas, and therefore in this case we say the island is never going to have knas, because she's either a ketana who has no knas, or a bogera who has no knas, but she can never be a naira who doesn't have a knas, is Rebbe Yehuda, who holds the same thing that Rebbe Meir holds. And Misravala, he doesn't. That's the problem, because I'm a Rebbe Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Well, ha! Zud, Rebbe Meir. That's what Rebbe Meir says. This is a reference that's talking about a Mishnah later on, that's talking about Kol Mokum Sheyesh Mecher in knas. So Rebbe Yehuda comes and says, Rav Yehuda comes and says, well, that's only true according to Rebbe Meir. Why does he say it's only true according to Rebbe Meir? If we know that Rebbe Yehuda is a major shita, which is the author now of this brightly, he should have said, Zu divir Rebbe Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rebbe Yehuda should have quoted Rav as saying. So clearly we knew, Miboyle, that's what he should have said, that clearly we knew that Rabbi Yehuda is not on Rabbi Meir's side in this issue. They argue on both issues, whether Ketan has a Knas, and whether a Nara can be Mimayenet, but never the twain shall meet. Okay, so it's a new Tana. It's a high Tana, Sarva like Rabbi Meir, Bechona, Balagali, Bechona. Look, I mean, the Tana doesn't have to agree all across the board with Rabbi Meir. He holds like Rabbi Meir that a Ketana ain't like Knas, but he argues with Mimayenet. And he holds like Rabbi Yehuda Shita when it comes to Mema'enes, Hachi Arba'a Shachor, and the Mema'enes Ein La Knas, which is Mashu, but if she would have been somebody else that was Ru'uya Lema'en, that's true. A Naira who is Ru'uya Lema'en. She would have had a Knas, but that's because this Tana holds like Rabbi Yehuda in that Shita, not like Rabbi Meir. Is there anything we can do to cheer you up?
I'll make it up tomorrow.
But it's Ad Kedekah. Is there somebody who can share, please, a Gemara with Mendel? He brought the wrong Gemara. It's a horrible, horrible feeling. Somebody's got it. Here's a nice big Gemara right here. Big enough for two.
And the little ones are there on the shelf.
That will account for a sad countenance in Daf Yomi anyway. Like, no, wrong Gemara. Rafram Omar, Rafram says it doesn't mean a Mima'enet as opposed to a same age person who could have been Mima'enet but wasn't. A Mima'enet means someone who could be Mima'enet, a Ru'uya Lema'en. Oh man, that's really Pentagonese. I mean, it could have just said Ketana and now it's got to be a Ru'uya Lema'enet. I mean, that's like people moving vehicles kind of things. I mean, what's this? So listen to Ketana, gosh. Okay, I went into Ein Laknas Velo Pitui. So now, in the Beit HaMidrash, where they offered data that could stand as a issue, they offered the following braita, which it looked as if it was being offered as a contradiction to the above-mentioned braita. What I mean, you say Ein Laknas, and here it says Achareshet Vashoteva Ein is. Yeshlam Knas. Ve'yeshlam Ta'anat Betulim. We'll see what Ta'anat Betulim has that to do with the island in a moment. I understand. That's a problem. I'm my room here. Why was this braita presented here for discussion? We know there's a machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. So obviously, according to the Rabbanan, that a Ketana Yeshla Knas. So an island is has a Knas. It's got a very long time to have a Knas. 20 years. Maybe even 35 years, depending on what the situation is, whether she brings him on the islandess or not. I mean, so of course she has a knas. The one that says that she doesn't have a knas is Rabbi Meir, that she goes directly from Katnut to Bagrut. Why would anybody put this braita up for discussion? What is he, a two-year-old? In fact, says the Gemara, to Ka'ari Mamai Ka'ari, what was he thinking? Oh, it was a complete mistake. It wasn't offered into the data pit here, the data pool, because of the contradiction to this braita. Have a little bit of patience, you would have heard that there's yet another braita that contradicts this braita, not with the Ilonit business, but with the Chareshet Vashota business. And that's a problem. Here it says, Chareshet Vashota, which that was the whole purpose of the focus here on this braita. Chareshet Vashota, the first braita, says, do have a knas. Anyway, why not? Certainly would seem reasonable that you have a knas. Okay. But there's another braita here that says, Achareshet Vashota, and in the continuation also talks about a Bogeret and a Mukat Eitz. Ein Lem Ta'anat Betulim is the years that we have. Whereas the Taisus Rid has ve'ein lehem knas, ein lehem knas, ve'ein lehem ta'anat betulim, hasuma ve'ailunid, yesh lehem ta'anat betulim, sumches omer mishum Rabbi Meir, suma ein la ta'anat betulim. So anyway, how exactly does the question of being a chareshet or a shota, how does that affect the issue of Ta'anat Betulim and possibly Knas? Rav Sheshes, well, I mean, consider for a moment. If she is a Chareshet and a Shotah, then she's incapable of tining in Beit Din, right? Now, when someone is themselves incapable, so the Beit Din tain is for them. As we'll see, that's called Ptach Picha Le'ilein. The court now takes the side and says, what would this person have been able to say had they been able to say it? So let's assume that that was presented to the court and see what we would do. So now, if you hold the Rabbi Gamliel versus Rabbi Yeshua, so then she always could say that Misheras Tani Ne'anasti. I mean, according to Rabbi Gamliel, we accept that Tani. So if you hold that Rabbi Gamliel, then in this case, so then there's no Tanat Betulim. I mean, she always has a way out. Whereas according to Rabbi Yeshua, we wouldn't believe her anyway. So according to him, Lomi Pian Ruchoyin, she's not the source of belief over here. So then, Yesha Tanat Betulim, because even if she would have said Misheras Tani Ne'anasti, we wouldn't have believed her. Yeah, but I thought the whole point of Rabbi Gamliel was because she was saying it. Isn't that the whole idea? It was a Tanat Bari. She was saying, look, I'm telling you, I know what happened. You're saying maybe. Your maybe is not going to be accepted against my knowledge, especially with the other considerations that we spoke about, which was the Cheskat Aguf. She started off as a Betula, questions of Migo, all the various situations that we had earlier. So, I mean, but there was no Bari over here. Where she is saying, I know. I mean, if the court is saying, well, she could have said, I know. How can she could have said be the equivalent of saying, I know? That's not saying, I know. Did he ever say that Rabbi Gamliel, that there's no Tadat Betulim on a woman who could theoretically have said, Borili, that I know what happened and that actually I deserve my ktubah? Says the Gemara, yes, indeed. Given the Amar Rabbi Gamliel Nehemna, Kegonzu Ptach Picha Le'ilemu, because of the fact that you could have had a Ta'anat Bari, therefore, the court will get the equivalent Taina of Bari for you. Okay, this is how Rashi seems to learn, how the Ritva learns Beferish, that the Ptach Picha Le'ilem gives the full equivalent of any possible Taina, including a Ta'anat Bari. Tosis is not happy with that idea because for a number of reasons, but I mean, you were using it against the Cheskas Momon, and the whole thing over there was based only on the Cheskas Aguf. If we don't have the Tainat Bari, how could we use the court's Tainas? Even if she would be in the matzav, the court's Taina wouldn't have worked. But we could take this as Rashi's approach, nice approach, Ptach Picha Le'ilem, and therefore we account for the machlokets about the Tainat Betulim. How about the Bogeret? Over here it says a Bogeret in la Ta'anat Betulim, which seems to be saying that a Bogeret, you don't have to expect that there would be any bleeding, because we're assuming she's so already so mature and there's a gradual degradation of the Betulim anyway, so he didn't find Betulim, what's the big deal? But the problem is that Amarav Bogeret notim la la rishon, that someone who marries a betula is a bogeret, who is bleeding the whole time now, at the time of intercourse, is allowed to continue and to be under the assumption the whole first night that she's only bleeding from betulim, and doesn't have to worry that maybe she became a nida. If you're telling me that a bogeret, you don't have even an assumption that she's a betula, how in the world can you rely that this blood is dam betulim? Why would we be noting the Laila Harishon? Says the Gemara. Wait a minute over here. There's two different possibilities. What it's saying over here about remember, Tanat Betulim, there's two different Tanat Betulim. One is that I was boil and didn't find Dam. The other is that I found Pitcha Patua. Now, either Katoin Tanat Damim, Hachinami, Hachamai Eskin Katoin Petach Patuach. If he said that I was boil and I didn't find that there was any dam, that's a good taina, even on a bogeret, because all it says over here when it says ein la tanat betulim is because he says petach matuach matzati. Petach matuach matzati doesn't mean anything. in a bogeret, simply because of the additional elasticity in a bogeret, and even if she would be a betula, you wouldn't notice necessarily once she's a bogeret that she was a betula, despite the fact that it would cause bleeding. So the blood in a finami would still be accountable to the betulim, which is why Rav was matir Laila Rishon, and his lack of sensation of her being a betula is accounted for simply by the fact she's a larger person and more supple person, and therefore he didn't notice that there was also things that he was up against, because it wouldn't cover the entire channel anyway, and he wouldn't necessarily notice it. Remember that we had a big machlokas earlier, that Rabbi Hananel Shita was the exact opposite. In fact, he changes the gears. This sugya is a big problem, according to Rabbi Hananel, who holds just the opposite. And in fact, there was a gears. If you take a look at Rashi means Hochi Garcina. Hochi Garcina is our gearsa. But there were clearly other svarim that either katan ta'anat petach patuach achinami, which is a big question. So how does he understand the issue of the domim over here? According to Rav, this is the central sugya about Rabbeinu Hananel's approach, that the bogeret is just the opposite. You can't tie a petach patuach. You can't tie a tana domim.
Bogeret is 12.5 years old.
In English, please, sir.
The bogeret is 12.5 years old.
Yes. Usually.
That's such a big change for me.
A man who's had 4,000 teenagers in his family asks that question. One day they're nice little kids, and the next day they're these horrible adults. Happens all the time. Good grief. Aren't you coming up on great grandchildren, teenagers yet? Soon.
Rav says that there's a possibility of Dabas Tulim.
A likelihood. We're going to rely on it. We're not going to answer him.
Does that necessarily mean that if it's not there, she's a Mu'la? Does the logic follow?
Well, it seems to. I mean, that's what the Gemara's assumption is. If you're telling me that I can assume that there's bleeding, I can rely on that bleeding. So then, why don't I? If you're telling me you shouldn't have thought you were going to find any blood, so then if I did find blood, so then I should be chayshish. It should certainly be a chashash at least. I mean, to say that I should be sebech on it entirely. I mean, that's the pashtus of the sugya. Sumchis omer mishum Rabbi Meir. Then we got this really weird thing. Does a blind girl have tanat betulim? What in the world does being blind have to do with tanat betulim? So Rabbi Meir is claiming, according to Sumchus, that if you're blind, there's no Tanat Betulim. It's unbelievable. My time of the Sumchus. What possible logic could there be about that? Omer Rabbi's there because since she's blind, so she falls. And she's Nechbetet Agabi Karkas. If she falls, she may end up damaging herself and having taken out her Betulim sometime. I understand. All kids fall. What do you mean she's blind? She falls. Everybody falls. Anybody ever had a kid that didn't fall? It's true. But if a normal sighted child falls, then she's going to be concerned about bleeding. If she actually had damaged herself, she's going to go tell her mother that she's bleeding. So then they're going to know that she damaged her betulim, and they're going to tell her. So that she would have been aware of the fact that she was their mar'ot li'imam. So they're going to be aware of the fact that they are not betulot. They could have tainted that I'm a mukateitz, or that I was damaged by a fall. But zo in aro'ah, the blind girl didn't notice necessarily after she fell that she had a problem, and so she's not going to go tell her mother about it. Ve'ina mar'ah li'imam.
Is Sumpus given extra credibility because he's blind?
I don't think that he had Betulim to worry about. So now Tosis asks, but I mean, according to Rabbi Meir, and we're going a little bit to Rabbi Meir, he holds in Mukat Eitz anyway, whether Yikir Bar Lo Yikir Bar has Matayim. So what's the issue? It's irrelevant. Whether she's a mukat, this is basically a mukatetz. Whether she's a mukatetz or not a mukatetz, it's the same thing. So what do you mean, ein la tanat betulim? It's the same thing. So therefore, Tosis explains that the point over here is that since they know that they were a mukatetz, so when he would have said, to the parents. Well, lo matzati lebichah betulim, right? And she's saying, but I was a betula, I was a betula. So over there, we're not going to say she's a mukateitz, because then she would have just said I'm a mukateitz. But since over here, so over there she would tie in her, so we'd say, okay, so you're lying. But over here, she doesn't know that she's a mukateitz, because she was never mar'ala imam. So therefore, that's the difference. The fact that she keeps claiming that I'm a betula, and she's clearly not a betula, but eidanam toreh besudah mafsidah. So we don't say, okay, so then she's not claiming she's a mukateitz. She didn't know she was a mukateitz. That's the difference. So therefore, in latanat betulin, in a case where she kept claiming that she was a betula against the evidence that she is. Then you said the case ayotzeit mishum shemra, ein la lo knas velo pitui. I should hope not. I would say mishum shemra bat skilahi. I mean, what do you mean? Ein la mishum knas. We know she's not a betula. I mean, we so know she's not a betula. If she's yotzeit mishum shemra, we could even actually take her to Beit Din and be a mechayev or misa for znus. How could she possibly? What are you talking about? That she should have a tainas psulim or knas? Well, omri b'sheish is not. Doesn't mean I'm b'shemra. Yotzeis bishum shemra means a shame ra was yotzeis aleha. This child has a bad reputation for when she was back in seminary, you know. Like most of the seminary girls, you know. You forget those years. So yatzar aleha shemra b'yalduta. Okay. So over there, she had a bad reputation. Ein la lo knas velo pitui. Says her papa. So you see from here that we pay attention to such things. Let's say you have a shtar. And you have a shtar that's got a bad reputation. It's a shtar ria. So then you can't use the shtar to collect. Because over here, you're saying you can't collect from her. Say, chidami. What's the case? Ilei mit anafka kola le deshtar de zayfahu. When you're talking about a shame ra, I want to understand what that shame ra is. There's a rumor that this is a shtar that was fraudulent. So that somebody had forged it. So that the case over here would be the Navagala Kala de Zanoy. That we have now a rumor that she had been Mizana as a kid. But I thought Rava said, Amar Rava Yatzala, Shem Mizana, B'yir Ein Choshishinla. We pay no attention to those kind of rumors. So it must be a little bit more powerful than that. It must be that two Edim come along, Atu Beitre, V'amre, Lididu Tavat Nine Be'esura. That the two of us were together and she propositioned us. Now, of course, we didn't accept it, but, I mean, this girl is certainly not the kind of girl that you can expect Atre Knas to. So, okay, but then the equivalent case by the shtar would be, Diyotu Beitre, V'amre, the guy came and propositioned us to be false witnesses, that we should sign on the shtar. That would be the same case. Now, I don't see, you said it must be the equivalent case, Rav Papa. I don't see the equivalent case at all. I mean, what are you talking about? They're saying we were propositioned, but we never accepted. Okay, so, I mean, the same way she propositioned you, she propositioned somebody else, and you can always find somebody to accept. But when it comes to forgery, you can't always find somebody to forge a star for you. So, I mean, that's not the same at all, is it? Bishwema, that case. Okay, Ahatam Shrichi Prutzin. You're bound to find a guy who's going to accept a nice, attractive proposition. But Alahacha Imhu Chzak. What, so, because this guy is looking for someone to do the forgery for him. So, Kol Yisro Imhu Chzak. What, so now we're going to claim that definitely you can find a guy who's going to forge a star for you. That's so pushit. Without eBay. Where are you going to find somebody to do a shtar? That's not eBay. What's the name of those sites where you post something that you need done?
Craigslist?
No, these great sites. Anything you need done, you just post it and they...
403.com?
That's new to me.
No, where you say this is the job, you have people bid on the job. It's great. It's great, a few sites like that. Well, my son opened a site like that, where you can, we get anything done. But you don't bid on it. They charge you by the hour. So if you need a star forge, anybody needs a forge star, just go to...
Forge a star.
Just go to...
Forge a star.
No, it's called... no. It's called Globe Task. GlobeTask.com. They'll do anything for you. They'll write your essays, do your children's homeworks, find the right doctor, whatever you need.
You
got a contract or something? Yeah, you do anything. That's great, son. Okay, so therefore, how are you going to, why are you going to assume that this guy, without the internet, found somebody to do a good forgery on the star? That was a paid advertisement, by the way. So, who call Yisrael Mihu Chazak? Hanami says the Gemara, no, because it doesn't mean that necessarily he'll find somebody to do it. It means if a guy is desperate enough in propositioning people to get it done, he can end up doing it himself if he really needs to. So Kiva de Komahadra has a Yufa, Amos Yufa Zayavakata. Maybe he managed himself to figure out how to forge the signature of the Adam, and he forged the signature. Saba Josh, we haven't heard from you in way too long, and it is time. Wait a minute. You've had 2 weeks to practice, and that's the best that you could do.
I have lost my voice.
A goggle muggle. He needs a goggle muggle.
Simple story.
Okay. Ve'elu she'en lehem knas. The following na'aro do not get a knas. Abo ala giyor v'ala shvoya v'ala shivcha shenivdu v'shenigayr v'shenishtachr yeterot abonot shalosh shanim. The first Mishnah we spoke about, as long as the giyor, the shikrur, took place before the age of 3, in which case even if there had been any type of intercourse, it wasn't really intercourse, because they would have regrown their betulim, and therefore it doesn't have a din of a betula at all. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I disagree with this whole business of shvuya. A shvuya who is niftet, a rehi bigdushata, and I don't care how old she is. There's no assumption that just because a woman is being held captive that we're going to assume that therefore they managed to have sex with her. Maybe they didn't. And Abba, the other cases, of course, are the cases we've been referred to all along, which are cases of Kamle B'Rabbi Mine Abba Bito, Abad Beno, Abad Tishto, Abad Benava, Abad Bito, all of which are Chiyuve Mita. So over here, Elam Knas, Neshemit Chayev, V'Nafshar, Shemitatan B'Dei Beit Din, as opposed to the first cases in the original Mishnah, where we had Arayot, but they were Karet, and we weren't going according to the Kuni Ben Akona, and therefore we didn't have Chayev Mitot to pass, to pat. And the rule is, Kolam Et Chayev, V'Nafshar, Ein Mishalei Mamon, that there's a halacha called Kimlei, but a rabbi, Mine, just in case you never heard of that before, but good thing we got to the Mishnah. Shenemar v'im lo yeason anor shianesh, only if there's no chiyav visa, then there will be payment. But im yeason lo yeanesh, in other words, there's going to be a chiyav visa, there's no tashlumin. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yudah v'Rabbi Dosa amru davar achad. This Rabbi Yudah in our Mishnah is ready to say that a shivuya is b'gdushata, basically is saying the same thing that Rabbi Dosa said, Rabbi Yudah adi amor. Rabbi Dosa also was referring to a case of a shvuya, and he says that a shvuya, when she's redeemed, she can be ochelet betruma. We don't assume that she's a be'ula, and with these guys who would have been made her into a chalala, that would have passed her from eating truma. We don't make such assumption. Dibre Rabbi Dosa. Omar Rabbi Dosa, the way Rabbi Dosa put it is, v'chima asala aravi hala. So what's this stupid Arab do to her? Now, as they felt her up a little bit, big deal. I mean, what do we got to make such a big fuss about it for? I mean, Tosfos says an Arab. He says even an Arab, because they're so completely filthy. So they're shtufim b'zimah. Rambam always says, Arabim elo shtufim b'zimah. This is his marker. So he says, even if the Chevy was with Arabs, the most you have to assume is that they were mezalzel or took advantage of it. Doesn't mean that especially with our whole thing, that she makes herself unattractive, and it's not so posh to go ahead and take her. So therefore, we're not going to pass on the kahuna. Omar Rabba, not necessarily that it's, you're saying it's the same thing, it's completely different contexts. Dilmaloni. I mean, Rabbi Yudah's talking about, over here, the Jechayev Knas, that's all he said. Somebody who rapes a woman who had been a shvuyas chayev knas. I should hope so. What are we going to now give him the benefit of the doubt? Lo yechotei niskar. They'll say, well, she was a shvuyah anyway. the more of a reason for you to pay as a rapist. We're not going to let him off because of that. But I mean, maybe in terms of the Yitzhar of eating Truma, maybe he would agree of a lot of Karabonim severely. Maybe, in fact, he says, look, I mean, you have a serious suffix over here that she was Nivellet, she was Mitchalelet Mina Truma, so she's not allowed to eat Truma. I don't see that that follows at all. You say the other way around also. You could say, maybe Rabbi Dos, was talking about the Truma, maybe Bisman Azeh, Truma de Rabbanon. But Knas? Well, we're going to take away money from a guy that's the city rice. A motzi moment for people. So over there, maybe Karabonim Sfirlei. The two sugyas are so different that you cannot jump to the conclusion, says Rabbah. Like that Rabbi Yochanan says. Not according to Rabbi Yehuda, is what we seem to be saying. We're going to get to that. Omalei Abaye. Don't try to tell me that what you're saying, Rabbi Yehuda, the reason Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayav knas is because Shaloye Chotei Niskar? Did our president not just raise the issue about whether she's muteret to her husband as a Kohen? That has nothing to do with Shaloye Chotei Niskar. I mean, it says Beferish in the Bright, Vatani, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shvuya Shenishbet Arei Begdushata, that a Shvuya, in general, has a din of heter, and I feel about that's a shanim. I don't care what we're talking about over here. You think about she's 3 years old, and I don't care how long she was in Chevy. She comes back 10 years later, gets married to Ketuvatam Matayim. Now there we're talking about Shaloye Chote Niskar. We're talking about her Ketuvah. Her Ketuvah is a normal Ketuvah, it's Matayim. Vahatamai Shaloye Chote Niskar. What's it have to Shaloye Chote Niskar? Stubbing straight out of din of the Ketuvah. Okay, you're right. It's not exactly Chotei Niskar, but it's not the same thing as Inin Truma. I could say that the reason, that Rabbi Yehuda says over there is something similar to Lo Yeh Chotei Niskar. Maybe it's that Dilma Mimnei Velo Nas Vila. In other words, maybe he has another reason to insist that her ketubah is matayim. Because since he's looking for her takona, so he wants bedavka to insist on ketubah matayim, because otherwise the natural way that people react to such things is, she went to the wrong kindergarten, I'm not interested in the shidduch. You know, so certainly, if some Arab had felt her up, that's also bad enough not to have a good shit up. So he wants to insist to Vatama Taim. Maybe that's the point, but not that he agrees with Rabbi Dosage she can eat the Truma. So as long as I have other issues. Let me ask something else. Sava Rabbi Yehuda Bigdushata Kaima. But you're saying that she's Bigdushata Kaima, I mean, the suggestion is that Mamish, she's Kshera Lakuhuna, I mean, according to this. It's the way that you're saying it's possible. Vatanya apodeta shvua yisaena. Somebody who pays money and redeems a woman who is a shivuya, he can go ahead now and marry her, despite the fact that that he's a kohen, and he can be believe that she's definitely not a bu'ula. But if he's the one that's made ba, lo yisa'ena. Which doesn't seem to make much sense. We're going to ask on it in a minute. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, so me'id ba, this end would be me'id ba, maybe he likes her. So he's claiming that she's not a bu'ula. But I thought you said if he's put her, he can, we'll get that clear in a moment. But Rabbi Yehuda says, benkach u benkach lo yisa'ena. He can never marry her. I thought Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that we don't have to worry that she was nevelet. So first of all, hagufakash. I mean, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. First you say, hapodet ashwa yisa'ena, and then you say, but if he says that she's not a bu'ula, so then lo yisa'ena. That's ridiculous. I mean, what, it's worse because he's being me'id? I mean, if he paid the money to take her to the chuppah, I mean, obviously he's interested in her. So what's the fact me'id ba? Maybe he'll be interested. So mishum de me'id ba. So now because he's testifying in court, so now lo yisa'ena? That's crazy. You missed the point over there. I don't know. Kasha, come on. Hapodeh et hashvuya. Somebody who pays money And he's made, I know that she is not a Bahula. So you say, Anna. But if Me'idba alone, without putting down his money where his mouth is, it's very cheapo to say, I know that she is not a Bahula, and then go marry her. It didn't cost you anything. If you're ready to put your money down, now that's something else. A person doesn't pay money to redeem a woman where he thinks that maybe there's reasons to assume that she is a Bahula. So it's not going to do. So that's already an indication, the fact that he was willing to pay, it's an indication that she is really okay. All it's saying is that if he doesn't show that he's believable, so then we're afraid maybe he got turned on by her and now he's claiming that he knows and he's not putting anybody down anyway, so that costs him anything. So why should we believe him? That part makes sense, but what are you going to do about the Rabbi Yehuda business? Mikomakom kasha Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, here it says, Arib Gedushata, which should mean, as our dear president pointed out a moment ago, that she can stay with her husband or marry her husband who's a Kohen. And here it says, Rabbi Yehuda says, never. I don't care what the situation. If you put down money, you can't marry her. Omer Papa, this can't be right. Change the girsa. What it should say is, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ben Kach U Ben Kach Yisaena. You don't need to put your money down because Arayah Bigdushata, even if he didn't put his money down. So if the guy says, look, I want to marry her, please, Kisantre, go marry her. And that fits in perfectly well with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, brother of Yeshua, says, I don't like this business, changing the gears to fit your expectations. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda did say over here, lo yisa'ena, but he wasn't referring to his own shita. Rabbi Yehuda was saying, l'divrem derabbon. He's saying, look, gentlemen, you have to be consistent. I mean, Lididi, as far as I'm concerned, there's not even a problem. So I don't need to testify that she's Torah. Anyway, a Shvuya is Bikdushata Kaima, and therefore she can marry the Kohen. So Lididi, Ben Kachu, Ben Kach, you say, and I don't care what the guy said, and I don't care what the guy paid. Anyway, she's Kshera. But Lididhu, according to you, I don't understand what nafkamin is. You're telling me that she's not Bikdushata, so what good does it do for the guy? I mean, if he's putting down money, he obviously has a negiyuti. He wants to marry her. If he wants to marry her, you're claiming that we don't have a chazaka that she's good. So why should we believe him? Lo yisena mi boya. According to you, never. And the Rabbana, and what indeed is the reason for allowing him to marry her? Because they say, because we have a chazaka, lo shadi inish zuzi bichti. People don't throw out money for nothing. He's got to know that he's buying something he's going to be able to keep, and that nobody's going to come ahead of him with testimony and say, and that he really knows what he's talking about. But me'id ba'kidi, if he's just for free giving us an avis, nah, then the giyut is a serious problem. And then he said, "Ena shema einav natanba." And therefore, this is perfectly consistent with Rabbi Yehuda, but now it means that we're assuming that only by Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha indeed is that she is completely bikdushata, in which case she'll be able to truma as well. To be continued.